Hey, Tiffany.
Hey, Kat. You said Tiffany again.
Tiffany. That sounds like the way my grandfather would have said it.
Right.
I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there's been kind of an uproar about food prices since the pandemic.
You know, I am part of it.
Yeah.
Of that uproar.
Yeah. They're crazy. I mean, like, standard food items have gone insane. And I don't know if you saw the, was it the CEO of Kellogg's? The other day said families should consider having cereal for dinner.
What?
To save money. We live in a dystopian weirdness. But in any
Kafka
case.
Novel.
Yeah. At the same time, I think the harmful side effects of factory farming have become more and more evident. There was that TV show that came out a couple weeks ago on Netflix called You Are What You Eat. And while it was ostensibly a study of a twin study about feeding different diets to people and how it would affect their bodies, it was also a showcase of factory farming and its pesticides and, you know, processed food and all of that. All of this is to say, in an effort to save money and the environment, lots of people have started turning to home gardening as the answer, specifically vegetable gardening.
Mm-hmm.
But is turning your backyard into a farm really more cost effective? And can it actually make a dent in your carbon impact?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Greening Up My Act. So yeah, we're talking about vegetable gardening tonight, not chickens, which is probably another subject we could take on another time. But I think when people think about factory farming being harmful, they probably think about beef production, hog production, meat production, usually not plants as much. But we are going to get into a little bit tonight about, you know, what actually is harmful about factory farming in terms of just vegetables. So hold on to your butts, as they say in Jurassic Park.
Yes.
But I think first probably we should say, who the hell are we?
Who are we? Yes, we are two folks who are normal people, but also...
Totes normal.
Totes. But also we have day jobs as marketing writers. So we decided, hey, we want to know how to actually make an impact or reduce our impact, really,
mm-hmm.
and what kinds of things that actually make kind of a difference. And we were also like, hey, we kind of can see past a little bit of this marketing fluff and more than maybe your average Joe, hopefully, because mm-hmm. we do it for work, but you know.
I mean, ideally.
Yeah, ideally. And so we were like, let's combine our skills and try to help other people out while we also help ourselves out.
Yeah. So we're doing the research anyway, so we might as well share it with our friends and family.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and whoever you are listening to our podcast today.
Yeah, if you don't know us.
Thanks
hi.
For joining. Yeah,
yeah.
I hope you enjoy it. Well, yeah, today's show probably going to be a little bit longer than others because vegetable gardening is enormous. But I did still keep it to five sources, which
wow.
actually you found most of them. So
yeah,
yeah. So this is based on your research, and I hope I do a good enough job on it. But I'll just go ahead and start listing those. The first is the garden continuum had 6 environmental and health benefits of growing your own food. Investopedia, the cost effectiveness of growing a garden. Treehugger, which is a website we use a lot, how to prevent food waste in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
The Empress of Dirt, which I loved as a name.
That.
10 garden mistakes that waste money. And then Earth 911 had home Economics vegetable gardens. I think they're trying to be cute about eco being eco-friendly
love.
And then economics. So yeah, it's cute. So just to kick it off and let's just start running, what product or system are we talking about today? Well, home gardening, and specifically growing vegetables. That's it. I don't think
yeah.
I need to explain any further what that means.
Mm-mm.
It's pretty straightforward. But Then we're going to get into eco-friendly claims, and that's where things get a little bit interesting.
Okay.
So I'm just going to list the basic claims that they make. I mean, I didn't do very much Instagram deep diving or Reddit deep diving on this.
You probably didn't have time. That's a lot of sources already.
Yeah. But I think, you know, most people who talk about with pride that they're home gardening, you know, they would probably list these reasons as well. Okay. So number one, fewer carbon emissions. Okay.
Okay.
Number two, less water usage.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, fewer pesticides and fertilizers, which means less harm to the overall environment, both in terms of what goes into our wastewater, what goes into our drinking water, and what animals are harmed in the production of our food, for instance, insects.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it wastes less food is another ecological impact factor, and which we have discussed, food waste is one of the biggest ways an individual can reduce their carbon impact is by reducing the amount of food that they waste. So that's an important ecological claim. And then the fifth claim I got is that, we have an issue here where people and sources and we ourselves conflate health claims with eco claims, and we've tried kind of to separate it, but human beings are a part of the environment too, so our health in some senses matters. But in this is kind of a less important eco quote-unquote claim with food growing, but that the food is better for you is one of their claims.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes better,
right?
So that's kind of their fifth reason you should be gardening for ecological reasons.
Okay.
Now I'm going to take each of these claims one by one and discuss whether they hold water.
Love it.
Yeah. So regarding carbon emissions, one. Yeah, probably. First of all, commercial farming uses heavy equipment. So that obviously spews out more carbon emissions than an individual human being with a rake, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The problem is that you're kind of comparing apples to oranges, right? So how many individuals raking and hoeing would it take to amount to one combine tractor, right? And how would that compare with the output of food? So like how many acres is an individual raking and hoeing on their own versus a combine? You know, like you're getting seven tomato bushes and they're doing millions.
Right.
So, you know, the one-to-one isn't there. But still, clearly, unless you're using your car as a backhoe and like idling, you're probably not using as much fuel, and you're not as your breath is not going to emit as much carbon into the environment as any heavy machinery.
Right.
Period. Right. Yeah. Like, I think there was a senator a couple of years ago who said that people shouldn't ride their bikes because that increases their carbon output by breathing. And everybody was like,
God,
do you know how this works, sir? How did you get into office? But so, okay. Now, the other big place where gardening for yourself can cut down on carbon emissions is in food transportation.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that.
Yes. So, according to the Garden Continuum article that I quoted, the food we buy typically, the average food that we buy will travel an average of 1,500 miles to get from the farm to your plate.
That's a lot of miles.
It's a lot. And we've discussed in the past in the Ridwell episode, and I think in our episode on like delivery food, that having a single car or truck deliver and pick up from a number of houses is better than having every individual drive from house to house. So, but imagine what impact it would have if you just walked your tomatoes from your backyard into your house. No cars used in that process whatsoever. Obviously, really cutting down on carbon emissions there. Now, again, there's some debate over, you know, if you buy the seeds and you get them delivered and all that stuff. But the carbon cost of a single tomato grown in your backyard is much less than you driving to the grocery store and buying it and bringing it home. So, yes.
Right.
Now, again, you're probably not going to be doing full subsistence farming in your backyard. So you're still going to be going to the grocery store, right? You're still going to supplement.
Yeah.
But growing food in season and eating it directly from your yard will cut down on carbon emissions overall. I can't quantify it. This is going to be one of those episodes where it's like there's way too many factors that go into it, way too many variables. But in general, yes, you're going to be emitting less carbon into the atmosphere by farming for yourself. Period.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just accept that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not going to be exact or, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Now, the next issue that they made a claim with was water usage. So, again, this is probably overall a yes. Now, Earth 911 reports that commercial farming accounts for approximately 80% of our nation's water usage.
Say that again?
Commercial farming accounts for 80% approximately of our nation's water usage. Now, they might be including, you know, hog farming and pig farming, you know, and meat farming. But we do water crops quite a lot. Irrigation is a big, you know, plants take water. So
that's now, insane.
Yeah, it's a lot. And again, commercial farms have often an incentive to try and reduce water use because it costs money. So they may be implementing ways to reuse water, you know, use gray water, things like that. So we can't compare apples and oranges here, right? I mean, basically, if I'm talking about your home water usage versus a giant farm,
yeah.
Again. But most households, 30 to 60% of your household water bill is spent on your lawn or your outside. So,
whoa.
Yeah. As Americans like to water plants. That's just it. We spend mm-hmm. a lot of water on plants, whether it's commercial farming or house lawns. So, again, your individual home is not going to be using as much water as a commercial farm. If your whole neighborhood get in on it, I don't know. I don't know how we could, you know, run that kind of math. But
right.
Individual conservation is still an extremely important aspect of home gardening. So, you know, number one, watering food instead of a lawn is obviously a much better use of water. I mean,
right.
I'm not going to say from a moral issue, but you could say you're taking that food and you're eating it. You are reusing that water.
Right.
You know, it puts it to work rather than just looking pretty. So,
yeah.
It increases the value of the water, the use value of the water, I would say. But also, you can reduce water usage by using a timed drip system. Mm-hmm. There are systems out there that can tell when soil needs to be watered, and so it won't water unless it needs to. That's a little bit more expensive. And using a hose can spew 24 gallons of water a minute. So a drip system is way more efficient.
That's crazy. I usually just fill up my watering can, which I feel like is sort of probably in between the two.
I mean, it's, yeah, you're not just letting a hose run, right? So, yeah, I think that's a little bit more targeted. The other thing they recommend is to make sure your irrigation system is always maintained, because faulty irrigation systems waste up to 25,000 gallons of water a year. And I think that's per individual household. So that's a lot.
Jeez.
Yeah. Another way that you can save water is to plant seasonable vegetables that will live off the rain in your state. Right?
Hmm.
My grandpa used to say, if it doesn't rain in Texas, I don't get a crop.
I remember. Yeah, you said that.
So, you know, we're going to talk about this in another episode, but you can collect water with rain barrels and use it on your garden. Again, filling up a watering bucket is more efficient than just letting the hose run. I have a bucket in my shower that I collect water when I heat up the shower. So that I'm not just wasting all that cold water down the drain. And it ends up, like, after 3 showers worth, I probably have a 5-gallon bucket full. And then I just go and water my plants with it. Yeah.
You know, in the summer especially, I have a dehumidifier in my basement, and that thing fills up every day. There's so much moisture.
Yeah.
And I need to figure out a system to capture that water.
And just, yeah.
Because right now I just haven't, because it's a pain in the ass, to be honest.
Yeah.
But just a bucket, like anything, really. Because
interesting.
Water out of the air.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, wow. That's like space age tech, right?
Yeah.
Like gathering water from the air to like...
So sophisticated.
Yeah. No, but I think that that's an important thing to consider is that, I mean, water is expensive, but it's also so easy to waste it. And
yes,
that's probably where we're going to start having wars in the next 20 years.
Oh, God, I know. I'm really scared of that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. All of my friends who work in environmental science are like, well, I got to leave New Mexico. Time to move to the Great Lakes. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. So water usage, yeah, again, can't compare apples to oranges in that, but there are ways to ensure that your water usage in your vegetable garden is more sustainable than it could otherwise be. So self-policing there is the key. Okay. Now, regarding fertilizers and pesticides. Okay. This one is where things got a little interesting. So according to Earth 911, commercial farms use – they're actually – better with their fertilizers because fertilizer is expensive. So they are very judicious with their fertilizer use. Now, the nitrates and other runoff from fertilizer still gets into nearby wells and they can poison groundwater and people as well as other plants. But the difference here is that home gardeners often over-fertilize.
Oh.
Which I found interesting. And they don't realize that just because they're using a smaller amount that the fertilizer runoff will still poison the water.
Hmm.
So you do have more say in what kind of fertilizer you use than, say, a commercial farm would. So, you know, who knows? Oh, God, I can't even think of what's a commercial farm that farms a plant? Green Giant? What is Jolly Green Giant using to fertilize their green beans, right?
Yeah.
You don't know. So you do get more say. You can say, okay, I'm going to use organic fertilizer, which is a thing into itself.
Yeah, I got lobsters.
Lobsters?
It's like lobster shells.
Oh, cool.
From Maine.
Yeah, that's probably really great.
It's ground up and apparently it's good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ruby likes to eat it. It's very annoying.
I'm sure. That's the thing with fertilizer. Like, yeah, compost. Dogs love compost.
Yes.
You got a kind of natural fertilizer is an interesting thing. We started doing some research on that for one of these episodes, but it was so complicated. One of the things they say to look out for is that if it lists biosolids, that's actually human feces.
Right. Yeah,
so,
I mentioned that.
You know, I don't know if you really want to fertilize your food or your groundwater with biosolids, but
probably not.
Compost is another option. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can get good compost or make your own. But in general, they say try, if you're going to garden for yourself, limit the amount of fertilizer you use.
Okay.
Don't go hog wild with it.
Interesting.
Okay. And then pesticides, on the other hand, similar issue. The Garden Continuum noted that chemical treatments to support monoculture, which is how we farm in the United States, we have one crop on each field that gets weeded and, you know, we kill all the other plants there. These chemical treatments harm helpful bacteria and fungal networks, which often help to maintain pesticide, et cetera, you know, naturally. So plants left to their own devices will generally find ways to fend off intruders on their own, you know, without killing the bees. We all know that commercial pesticides are probably at fault with the sudden die-off of bees in the United States.
Yeah.
And bees are important because they pollinate, and we can't have fruit if you don't pollinate. We can't have any food if you don't pollinate. So pesticides are pretty single-minded in destroying all bugs and critters and funguses and everything else. So commercial pesticides, I'm not going to argue for them. I think we all know that we need as a society to find a better solution. But with a home garden, you can determine whether or not you use pesticides and which kinds you use, which is great. But Earth 911 noted that on a per acre basis, home gardeners tend to use up to 10 times more pesticides than commercial farms per acre.
What?
Yes. This is because, again, they underestimate how much their pesticides can affect the environment. They're not as aware of safety protocols. They're not spending as much, you know, so they think they can just kind of do it willy-nilly. Wow. So they end up pesticide use for home gardening sounds like a really bad idea to me in general. You can really harm your kids and pets because there's fine print you got to read on the label for how it's used. You know,
I'm guessing that doesn't include like the natural organic pesticides.
I didn't look into those.
Okay. But I doubt it does because I mean, I use like neem oil and all these other oils and stuff.
Yeah.
Insecticidal soap or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
And it works depending on. Yeah, I'm still trying to work with it. I do think it's effective, but it's I'm not really totally sure I'm doing it right.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, that's interesting because I would be too afraid to like go to the store and buy a big bag.
Yeah,
of like a bag. Let us come in a bag.
I know. Well, I think it'd be a spray, right?
Oh yeah, that would make sense.
So, I mean, it depends. But yeah, I mean that stuff's really scary, and we underestimate how much our little thing impacts it. So
interesting.
Yeah, I'd say they recommend companion planting, which is using, a plant, the plants that fight off bugs for each other. Again, it takes some research, but that works. Or you know, well, that's in terms of fertilizers. For instance, beans, corn, and squash all fertilize each other with the nitrates and things, and it's a really fascinating cycle there. So,
well, I would say as soon – remember I had all that deer problems last year eating my – this is flowers, but same idea. And as soon as my marigolds came up, they have this scent to them.
Yeah.
The deer had no interest in any of my plants.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I loved it.
Marigolds are amazing. They keep away mosquitoes too.
Okay. Yeah. I just like – after they would kind of die, the little flower buds, I would – take them and throw them all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, get away, deer.
Yeah, they're great volunteers if you just keep it watered. Yes, marigolds are amazing. So things like that. Also floating row covers. So, you know, which I might want to look up. Let's look
up. I feel like that's probably one of those tent looking things.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Like have the mesh over them.
So yeah. Yeah, they are. They're like mesh and you like stake it down.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah.
But that's if you have a whole row. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you could use
yeah,
as much or as little as you need. So, yeah. Or, you know, if you're doing container pots, just bring them inside. But, okay. So that was interesting to me about pesticides that, you know, home gardeners are just like... spraying
that's
it everywhere.
Really wild.
I know. So be careful with your pesticides if you use them. Don't use them if you can.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like most people listening to this podcast might lean toward organic gardening, but who knows?
But even then, you have to do your research into what quote unquote organic products are because I kind of feel like organic pesticide sounds like an oxymoron to me.
Oh, yeah. We were actually going to do it. You were going to do an episode on it. And then you're like, wow, this is too much.
It's so much work. Yeah. We might still do one. But
yeah, because there was like a product that labeled itself organic and it wasn't. So,
or what does organic mean in terms of pesticides? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like who's labeling
I'm talking
that?
About like neem oil.
Yeah. Or quote unquote, I mean, I hate again to say natural. That's a green hooey buzzword.
Right.
But
it's hard to explain it otherwise.
Yeah.
Chemical free. But
nothing
it's got chemicals.
Is chemical free. There's no such everything's made up of chemicals, right? I mean, but maybe not synthetic.
Okay. There we go.
That might be. And again, I don't know if some synthetic, you know, generated pesticides could actually be better because they're more discriminate. I don't know. I don't know what the science is behind all that. So that's something we'd have to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Yeah, I was just going to say, is it break time?
Okay.
So let's input a break right here because it's been 25 minutes already.
Okay, sweet.
Okay, welcome
back.
Yeah, and we're still going through these eco claims about gardens or home vegetable gardening. So we've gotten on to the next one, which is food waste. So does home gardening save on food waste? So I'm just going to reiterate that you and I have discovered food waste is one of the biggest issues this country has in terms mm-hmm. of ecological disasters that we do. And a lot of it is due not just to the fact that we as Americans just buy food and throw it away, but also because commercial farms either can't sell or can't pick their full crops. That was a huge one that we found in our food waste episode that we did a couple months ago. So in some ways, home gardening could still contribute to this, because in terms of commercial food waste, if you're gardening at home and you're not buying the tomatoes, they're not going to be selling the tomatoes, which means the tomatoes are just going to rot for them. But you know what? Fuck commercial farms. They can figure it out, right?
And the tomatoes are gross. So
right. Yes.
Grossies.
But as an individual, you can also waste food by planting it and not eating it. So you could be guilty of the exact same crime.
Mm-hmm. Which so like, I totally was.
When oh, my God. Yeah. Two summers ago, we had so many tomatoes. You know,
and then everyone you know is growing tomatoes. So you're yeah, like you're trying like, to give them away. And they're like, no, I don't need any more. I'm like, God right. damn it. And everyone does yeah. like tomatoes, cucumbers, and squash.
Yeah.
So they're like, I have too easy. Much of all of this.
Yeah. yeah. So, okay. Tree Hugger recommends to avoid this that you should plant appropriate plants and amounts of plants.
Fair.
So maybe instead of 7 tomato vines, you have 2.
Mm-hmm. Or one. Is
or
plenty,
one.
Really.
Single. Yeah. They also recommend co-gardening or sharing with others in your neighborhood. So we have a neighborhood garden here. You have to kind of reserve the plot. But you could decide as a group that you're going to plant squash and they're going to plant tomatoes and they're going to do beans. And like then you can trade and share instead of having everyone has 4,000 tomatoes.
Oh, I shouldn't do that with my brother-in-law, actually.
Yeah.
He's the other gardener in the fam. And we could just do different stuff.
Yeah. Decide on what plants go best together. And then, yeah. Okay, something called succession sowing, which is interesting. So stagger when you plant things throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So that way you don't have too much food at one time and none right after that. Those are kind of the best, easiest things to follow in terms of planning your garden and planting it. The next things that they have are with food waste are a little bit more... in the woods, I might say, in the weeds, perhaps. So they recommend eat all of the plant, which is called a secondary crop yield. So like you can use, I'll just use, I tried to grow pumpkins a few years ago and none of them, they didn't pollinate because no females came up. It was all males, I think, or vice versa. But so I used the pumpkin blossoms, stuffed them with cheese and fried them.
Okay.
So, you know, you could use carrot tops for stews.
Carrot tops is what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. So use more of the plant than you might otherwise. You can't do that with every plant, but some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to can and preserve food, obviously.
Which
this one was pretty simple.
About.
I loved. Eat your leftovers. Or reuse, you know, for instance, make a soup out of if you
easier said than done, people. Easier said than done.
I know. But there, again, this is
it's
obvious
not wrong,
stuff
but
for food
yeah.
waste. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to waste food, yeah, eat your leftovers.
Yeah.
Or you it's or turn good. Them into something else. Make shepherd's pie out of those peas that are 3 days old, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also recommend composting, obviously, which
okay.
is our.
And freezing. Did they talk about freezing?
Preserving food. Yeah. Canning, oh, yeah. freezing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Figure out how to preserve it. So, okay.
Yep.
So those are the main eco-friendly points that make the most sense. But then I wanted to go a little bit into, does the food taste better and is it better for you? And this was the one. Now, you said you think homegrown tomatoes taste better. And I agree with you. I think
yes.
hothouse tomatoes or commercially grown tomatoes don't taste as good.
No, I think for the most part, unless they're like heirloom, you can get some pretty good heirloom tomatoes at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Pretty tasty.
Did I?
Very expensive, but
well, and okay, so that's the thing. Yes, I'm going to go into the money saving aspects in our next section. So yes, okay. The Garden Continuum cited an article from University of Massachusetts, UMass Amherst, I think, that claims nutrient dense food comes from plants grown in healthy soils with helpful microbes. So if you treat your soil right, yeah, you can get more nutritious food.
I know that was a big claim from like the farm to table movement.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and again, monoculture, which is just growing one crop on one field, you know, fertilizers just aren't going to do the same thing as nature. And this is something they kept saying in this article too. Nature knows best. Nature knows what it's doing. I'm like, okay, again, domesticated agriculture was made by human beings. So yes, nature does know best, but also human beings created corn. So
right.
Over time, everything was genetically engineered, maybe over longer spans of time than, you know, not in a lab, but anything that you eat that has been, unless you picked it wild off of a tree, and it'll probably kill you, you know. Almonds are no longer poisonous because we have figured out how to grow a version of them that is not poisonous. So,
right.
But it's also, how do you measure the difference between commercially farmed food and homegrown food on a one-to-one basis? Like, like, we know that heirloom tomatoes taste better. You know, I don't know how you measure the nutrition value. I mean, it would just depend.
That's
on
what I
things.
Always wondered. Like, is this just an assumption or are there studies about it? Or?
Yeah. And I, again, since we're trying to limit to five sources, I didn't go deep.
Yeah,
on
I gotcha.
One.
There's already a lot.
But also, every home farmer is going to do something different, right? So my tomatoes might taste better than my neighbors across the street because they have a north-facing lot and mine south-facing, you know, like all kinds of things.
No, it's true. I will say I randomly, for my master's program, did this study. I was writing something about it. About, I basically took local grown sweet potatoes.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It was sweet potatoes and Brussels sprouts or something. Local ones versus like non-local ones.
Yeah.
And I cooked them up, prepared them in the exact same way, and then had a bunch of people that I work with taste test them blindly.
Yeah.
Again, this is like one study, you know. One
right. Five
single,
people.
Yeah. It was like a group of maybe a dozen. But it was really interesting because they actually they said that the non-local stuff tasted better.
Interesting.
And I was just so surprised. By
bummed,
that.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's so interesting. So, I mean, who knows what that means, really? But
yeah.
It's like not always the case, obviously,
yeah.
That
yeah.
It's going to taste
so,
better.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you grow your own food at home, you have a lot more say in what goes into it, what you grow, how you use it, you know. And that's kind of the thing, is that you can grow what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to like how it tastes better anyway. Like, you can pick what kind of tomatoes you grow, you know?
Yeah. I mean, commercial tomatoes are garbage. Let's just all be clear on this.
Yeah, they're like wallpaper paste.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's be honest. No, I agree with you. So yeah. It's kind of like commercially grown roses. Hothouse roses don't smell very good, you know?
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. But okay, now we're moving into, is this something a normal person could do or afford? And the question that we posited at the beginning of this evening's podcast was, is home gardening less expensive than buying your groceries from the store? And the answer is, of course, it depends. It depends on what crop you decide to grow. You have to take into consideration how much land you have available to grow things. You have to consider what zone you're in and what will actually grow in your zone. Also, you have to cultivate soil. Every crop needs different soil to thrive. So you have to figure out if your soil already does that, or if you, like you said, you have alkaline soil where you live. It doesn't need
supposedly
to be more acidic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, no, you have to... maybe the opposite. That was Utah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't actually tested my... People do test their soil.
They do test their soil. Or you can, you know, buy the right potting soil from wherever you go. But you have to cultivate the soil. Then there's water. The cost of water. Can you set up automatic watering system? Can you water your plants as often as they need to be watered? Will you rely on rain like my grandfather? How are you going to protect the crops from critters? And what tools are you going to need? So Investopedia just listed it out. You have to consider the cost of seeds or plants, the cost to provide nutrient-rich soil, dirt, fertilizer, and worms, the cost to protect and structure plants. Don't forget cages, coverings, and fences. The cost to water them, and the cost of tools and accessories, including a tiller, gloves, spades, etc.
Yeah, and you might have mentioned, you might have said with protection, but like structures. Did you say
that? Yes,
yeah. Yeah, that's a big one.
Cages, yeah, you need tomato cages.
Point,
yeah, They can be. They really can. Mm-hmm. I keep mine every year. I'm like, these are mine. I'm saving them.
Yeah.
Reuse. Okay. So Investopedia did say the average gardening household does see a positive return on investment, according to the National Gardening Association.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So they say, for example, 1 pound of organic tomatoes from Whole Foods costs, as of July 2021, $2.99.
It's getting worse now.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure. So this was, it was, they were $2.99 for a pound of organic tomatoes from Whole Foods as of July 2021. A package of organic heirloom tomato seeds, which can yield multiple tomato plants over time, costs $3.99.
Okay.
So to put it into perspective, one tomato plant may equal 10 pounds to 30 pounds of tomatoes.
And plus, you can save the seeds.
Yes.
For the next year.
Yep. So, okay. Yeah. Investopedia also recommends using seeds instead of seedlings to save money. Mm-hmm. So buying seeds is cheaper than buying the plants that are already established.
Yes, definitely. By far.
They do take longer, of course, but.
Yeah, you have to like think about stuff when it's cold out and it's so hard. I'm trying, and we're in the middle of that right now. And I'm like, I really should be thinking about growing seeds. And I just can't.
I know. I just can't either. I know my roommate and I are both like, yeah, it's 80 degrees out. We should probably plant something.
God, I know.
The other thing they recommend is square foot gardening. And I thought I would remember what that meant, but I'm just going to look it up right now. So square foot gardening is. Come on.
Geeky. I wonder if it's like a lot of people recommend throwing as much as possible in
yes.
a tiny space.
Yeah, basically. But you have to know what goes with each mm-hmm. other. So square foot gardening is the practice of dividing the growing area into small square sections to assist the planting and creating of small but intensely planted vegetable garden. So it's okay. basically, yeah, a simple and orderly gardening system. Which is appealing, but it also means that you're getting the most out of the space.
Yeah, I think we're really bad at like filling it. We yeah. think plants need a lot more space than they do.
Yeah, so. I mean, you do have to take into account how much sunlight. Like, for instance, if you're growing basil and it's going to overgrow, is it going to overshadow this yeah. plant and not get any sunlight? Things like that.
Right.
But also, they lastly recommend to save money, only grow what you actually want to eat.
That's the big one.
You're not like, hey, I'm going to grow corn even though I hate corn.
Yeah. 1 year I grew this very strange squash, and I don't remember the name of it, but it was like bumpy. And by the time it grew, yeah. so, it took so long. By the time it yeah. grew, I was like, I don't remember. I don't have the package anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Is
yeah.
this edible? Like, did I grow like a
is this a decorative gourd?
Yes. I was like,
sorry,
God,
I just hit my microphone.
Damn it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, well, I don't think we ended up eating those.
You can use Google Image Search and see for the record.
Oh, see, I don't. That's too fancy for me. I don't know.
Oh, well, well. I like Google Image Search. It saves my life all the time. I'm like, how what flower is this?
Oh.
Well, with a Pixel phone. Ah. But you can do it if you go on Google, just in general. I can't show you right here, but on your phone, if you use Google, there should be a microphone. And then mm-hmm. a camera shape. If you click okay. on the camera shape, you can search by image.
Okay. And you can I'm sure I could picture it out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, okay. Other recommendations on how to save money. Empress of Dirt, our new favorite web name.
Yeah.
They recommended thrift shopping. For tools.
For like pot. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep. Tools, pots, manure, compost, seeds, everything. Do your research, basically. Now, you can thrift used items on Craigslist, etc. Mm-hmm. But also, you can save money by looking at Craigslist local stores, local garden co-ops, things like that, rather than just
Freecycle.
Whatever. Yep, Freecycle. Whatever is just on Amazon or the Home Depot. They're like, just spend a little more time.
So yes, you can save there's money actually a seed swap that happens in my county like twice a year.
Yeah.
And you don't have to bring anything. You can just come and take seeds.
That's
because these are
awesome.
Seeds that people are like, please, I don't need these. Like, please
yeah.
take them. So.
Take my heirloom tomatoes. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
Yeah. So that's ways to save money. But then also, again, time is money. So time mm-hmm. is a big consideration. So depending on if you start your seeds yourself or buy seedlings, you'll have to wait for the food to grow. It takes time to build good soil. Also, you have to pay attention to that. And then you have to harvest it, which also takes time. like picking little beans off their stalks takes forever. Mm-hmm. And then you got to shell mm-hmm. it and, you know, all these things that you mm-hmm. can just buy.
It is so much work.
Yeah.
It's very fun work, but it is so much work.
Yeah.
Especially then, if the bunnies come or the deer come and you're like, want to just jump out the freaking window.
Yeah.
You're like, I quit. It.
Yeah. Little bunnies. Yeah. And then you got to decide what you're going to do with it. Once you harvest mm-hmm. it, are you going to can it? Are you going to freeze it? Are you going to give it to your friends? Are you going to let it rot? Are you going to let the bunnies mm-hmm. eat it? So the biggest solution for all of these issues is not to bite off more than you can chew. So this is something I really like about vegetable gardening. You plant for your tastes and your space, period. Even if you just have an apartment, you can grow an herb garden and use those fresh herbs to cook. Wonderful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That saves so much in plastic, like the amount of basil that comes in plastic. You just pluck it from your thing and keep it.
It's so true.
Yeah. You can do planter or pot gardening. That gives you more control over the soil, the bugs, the critters, the sunlight, although it might make it more difficult to do companion planting. And your plants might not necessarily get the benefit of having each other as friends and the, you know, but still potting. We had that problem actually last year. I think my roommate tried to do all of the tomatoes in their own pots, and we got one tomatillo, I think.
Oh,
and
that wow.
was it. The
they
whole
like
year.
To be together.
They like for some reason. I don't know okay. what it was.
I didn't know that.
Might have been more space for roots. I don't know. So if you don't have time to do more than water and pluck herbs, then just plant those plants. That's it. So I like that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now our final question. Does the earth-friendly message need to come back to earth? Okay, maybe a little bit. Okay, some of the claims about the food being better for you are hard to back up, right? Again, home gardeners tend to use more pesticides and more fertilizer more haphazardly than commercial farms, and they can waste almost as much water. I mean, maybe at scale, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you have to take into account where you live, how much space you have, and how much time you have. So it's not just everyone can be a gardener. Like, you know, maybe everyone can have a basil plant, but you're not going to be subsistence farming. And I don't think we should expect everyone to be. And,
yes.
You know, some of us have to go to farmers markets. And sometimes you just
some
gotta,
of us need to support yeah. the farmers.
Yeah. My roommate goes to farmers markets. That's basically, he'll do a main grocery store run once a month, but then he buys most of his produce from the farmers market. He takes his
are
bike.
Are they year round by you?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of
ours aren't.
The
ours
produce are is different. Yeah. Only in the summer.
Months. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably just because people won't go there. But you know, you can buy from your co-op. There's all kinds of
yeah. There's
you can
actually
get.
There's markets and stuff.
So. Yeah, I mean, and again, no judgment. Commercially grown food is going to be cheaper, and food is fucking expensive right now. So you know, get your fresh produce and your veggies wherever you can, even if that's from a can. You know,
truly,
wherever do what you got to do for your family. Yeah,
yeah.
So now I'm going to go into the granola rating. Or green hooey meter, as we sometimes call it. This is something we do for every product, service, or thing we review on Greening Up My Act, is we rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 granolas based on how crunchy it is, because the crunchier the better. And this is, you know, is it a load of hooey or is it actually functional as intended, including price, cost, you know, does it work or is it up in the green clouds? Our rating system goes from soggy, which is a 1, to mushy, a 2, chewy is a 3, crunchy is a 4, and break your tooth off, which is what you really want, is a 5. Few things get 1s or 5s, but most yes. things fall in between. So I will say I'm going to give vegetable gardening a 4 out of 5, crunchy. Maybe yeah, even 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I was going to lean that way.
Yeah, it does save money in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how you do it. Although you won't right. necessarily save time, especially with the research concerns. Also, there's such a wide scale of what size of garden you can take on that almost anyone can grow something at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that I like is that it's almost anyone can do this. Like 98% of people who live normal lives could do this.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
And if you think of cost, especially if you like
yeah.
like maybe the first year is going to be expensive, but then if
yeah.
you reuse the stuff that you buy,
yep. Yep.
the second year is going to be like you'll buy some seeds and that's kind of Yeah. Probably kind of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you're only going to need to buy a spade once, you know, mm-hmm. if you take care of it. That's the other thing.
Right. Don't leave it in the
take
lawn.
Care, yes. Take care of your shit. Clean it, sharpen mm-hmm. it, whatever you got to do. It also gives you more control over your environmental impact and what you put in your body. But again, you have to keep in mind water, pesticides, fertilizers. Those aspects are very important. Just because you're gardening at home does not mean you are not contributing to carbon emissions or groundwater poisoning, etc. So just
yeah, that's important.
Be aware. So yeah, that is vegetable gardening.
Awesome. And we did it in 45 minutes.
Really? I thought this was going to be like 45 billion hours long.
No, we did great.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Didn't you say you had like 9 pages of notes?
I did, but I just like rolled through it.
That's awesome.
So
I was trying not to interrupt.
Oh, no. You did great.
Blah, 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 blah.
But yeah. So thank you. Next week, you're doing biodegradable pots, which is leans into this. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, that's going to be sort of probably a shorter episode.
We keep saying we're going to do shorter episodes. And
I
then
know.
An hour
well, last, our last episode was decently short, but
yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to look into like all the claims about these suckers and see,
yeah.
just kind of investigate what's going
on. I mean, I should be planting. It's the end of February here in Austin when we're recording this, so I should be looking into
I know.
That.
This is like my sign to just... Because I don't want to grow a bunch of vegetables, but I really want to grow like lettuces.
Yeah.
I've been inspired by this Instagrammer, like different kinds of lettuce. And I think I can do it in a pretty small scale and hide it so the bunnies can't get to it. And...
Yeah. Get those floating covers that we were just talking about. Row
yeah.
covers.
Or that. I was thinking about just putting it on my deck, but.
Oh, yeah, that too. Like or bring them inside at night or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But I need to. I want to start from seeds, and I would need to do like yesterday.
Do it now. So, yeah. I know. You know, something we didn't cover too was hydroponic farming, which is something I'd like to look into.
Oh, because right.
I'm wondering if the electricity use and stuff
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the water use, because you're not using soil and you can do it inside. But anyway.
Yeah.
But that's something for another season, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let me get our outro music going. So I'm going to say, because Kat's been working really hard at this, head over to our YouTube if you haven't yet, because you can see our faces, which is fun, and we need some views over there.
Yeah. So it's just my boyfriend watching it on repeat. He's like, you got 7 views and a like today. I was like, thanks, babe.
Yeah. You're the best.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for joining. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.